Stand for prayer, please. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
We'll read the call to worship this morning antiphonally. Those to the left of the chapel, your left, will begin, and those to the right will follow in response with the choir. O Lord, our Lord. It's 523. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained.
What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him?
For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field.
The fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name.
Let us pray. Father, for your presence in this place, we're grateful. And for your call to each of us to exist in that presence, we're most grateful. We give thanks that you have called us together and pray that you'll teach us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we confess that we have neighbors who are hurting and we did not take the time to care. We confess that there is injustice in this world, and we're too comfortable to be concerned. We confess that there are times we have been unloving, and Father, we pray for your forgiveness. Thank you for the beauty that we see and the joy that we know, and for each piece of your love that we experience. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Virginia. She received a baccalaureate degree from Meredith College, and after teaching in the public school system for a time, went on to Andover Newton Theological Seminary and received a Bachelor's of Divinity degree. She's worked in various churches as a minister of education, most recently at Mars Hill Baptist Church. And then a few years ago, she started making a dream become a physical reality in developing the Center for Christian Education Ministries. The concept behind the center makes it uniquely flexible and able to meet the needs of the churches in the community which it serves. Last year at about this time, Southeastern Seminary presented to Ms. Fitzgerald the first citation for excellence that it presented for her work with the Center for Christian Education Ministries. Ms. Fitzgerald is a creative minister and a skilled enabler, and after the anthem, we look forward to continuing in worship with her. Hold it. After the hymn, too. We have a hymn, number 212, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. The scripture reading is from Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the might with his spirit in that inner being, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What are your dreams? What are your visions? Pass those exams. Get through school and settle down. Quit driving 150 miles every day to and from school and church. Maybe it's to write that book that's still in your head, or maybe half finished on paper. Maybe just do a better job teaching next year. Finish grading those papers. Do your dreams and visions include a growing idea of what God is about in your life, in the community, in the church, in the world? Are those visions of the church at work in the world in a new way? Are those dreams of God using you to minister in ways that have never been dreamed of before? Are those dreams as to how you can become part of the answer to the prayer that we pray, Thy kingdom come on earth? This is what the prayer in Ephesians is about. I pray that God will grant you new power by His Spirit, the presence of Christ in your heart, that will result in a life rooted and grounded in love, so you will comprehend the breadth and length and height of God's love. And then he adds a little note there and says, you can't know it all, but I pray that you will be filled with the fullness of God's love. How can we know that height and breadth of God's love? The writer says, only as we are rooted and grounded in love that we will be able to know it, to comprehend, to know, only comes about in relationship. You can analyze God, but that does not mean to know Him. This comes about only in love. How can love help us to know God better? In the first place, it is God's love that enables the power of His Spirit to be in our hearts. It is God's love that enables us to receive Christ into our hearts. This love, this relationship, then enables us to love. Only in rooted love that's growing down and stretching out can we really be open to the creativeness of God. Moses asked God, "What is your name?" God did not answer in past tense. "I am that I am. I will be what I will be." Or I like to see it this way: "I will ever be beyond you, beckoning you to reach out to me, to stretch out and find me. You will find me already there, working, creating, in families, in the community, in politics, in organizations, in programs, yes, even in the church." God has more hands than our hands to do his work today. He will use our hands and our feet and our minds if we are willing to use our eyes and our ears to see his creativeness at work about us. Peter said, "Who was I to stop God?" We often want to stop him by our limited vision. We frequently narrow our vision of God, making him into our own image to fit our churches, our programs, our way of life. A firm foundation rooted in love can help us to discard some of those preconceived notions of God. "Your God is too small," says J.B. Phillips in his little book. We need to hear those words from the book of Isaiah. "Can anyone tell the Lord what to do? Who can teach him or give advice? With whom does God consult in order to know and understand and to learn how things should be done?" In our day, too many times we are numbered, programmed, processed, directed, so much so in every facet of life that we sometimes want to put God and put limits around him. To put him in a box with easy 1, 2, 3 directions on the outside of the box, including add water, mix well, and add bread and fruit to taste, thus limiting God to our own directions. God is not bound by 11 a.m. or by 6-point record system or by the way it has always been done. In love, well grounded, we can shake the old and try the new. There will be surprise by joy, for God will already be out there ahead of us, waiting for us to catch up with him. To open our views of God to the light of an untried day is not easy. But in God's love in us, this is sufficient to give us the strength and the courage to look at God at work about us. That same love, rooted and grounded in God's love, can help us to face ourselves, open ourselves to God, thus knowing the depth of God's love, then the words of Joel will become a reality. I will pour out my spirit on you. The old will dream dreams, and the young will see visions. You see, creativity, imagination, curiosity are all God's gifts to us. When we open ourselves, we can ask questions. We can take new risk with people, with programs, in teaching, in ministering, risk in our prayer life. We can be part of answers rather than just part of problems. Westerhoff, in one of his books, says, "Our sin, I suggest, is a lost vision, a lost hope, a lost will to act. When love degenerates into short-sighted prudence, creativity can be damaged." The breadth and depth of God is not contained in my head, your teacher's head, our books. Your classroom of learning is not confined to four walls or to this campus, but rather to the space that you, in which you creatively exist. The depth of God is limited only as to how far you will dig. You will stretch. You will reach. This love can go one more step. It can help us to call out the gifts of others. We know that this is a part of community and an essential part of it, for we know in community we comprehend, with all the saints, the breadth and depth of God. The question we really have is, are we willing to? How far are we willing to go in calling out the gifts in others? For sometimes when we call out those gifts, that means we may have to give up some of those ego tasks that we have. Do we really want to? It means assuming responsibility to bring to life. And that really means birth pains. We must stand beside, stand in front of, stand behind, encouraging, supporting that person that they might find the breadth and depth of God in that unique life of that person. To know the breadth and depth of God's love, impossible to do. But if grounded in love, we can stretch out to God, open ourselves up to Him, open ourselves up to help others. In that marvelous little book, Wind, Sand, and Stars, Saint Exupéry says this, "I heard them talking to one another in murmurs and whispers. They talked about illness, money, shabby domestic cares. Their talk painted the walls of dismal prison in which these men had locked themselves. And suddenly I had a vision of the face of destiny. No one ever helped you escape. You are like a termite, built your peace by blocking up with cement every chink and cranny through which the light might pierce. You rolled yourself into a ball. You have chosen not to be disturbed. You do not ask yourselves questions to which there are no answers. Now the clay of which you were shaped has dried and hardened, and naught in you will ever awaken the sleeping musician, the poet, the astronomer that possibly inhabited you in the beginning. What is asleep in you? What are the dreams and visions in your life? What is God working through you to say? What new understanding of the depth of God's love is waiting for you? Is it too late? I bow my knees before the Father that he may grant to you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner being, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power to comprehend the height and breadth and depth of God's love. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, let us go forth from this place with a fresh awareness of your presence. Let us go out in joy and be led forth in peace